What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back, Summer League 2023. Man, we got a guest today that had to wait 45 minutes for his dry cleaning, so we started all night. But who the fuck does, who cares? You know, he's here. We did it. Nah, but I want to welcome to the show, man. I got a chance to see this man grow. He was a couple years younger from me, but out in L.A., I was at UCLA. He was in high school, always making waves. Came up to UCLA one day, and I said, oh, he's not going to college. This kid's going to the pros. Welcome to the show, Tyson Chandler, man.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you for some time. So y'all played together.
Yeah.
What was that like? Charlotte?
Yeah, for me, it was great because, you know, I mean, it was a chance for me to come into a leader role on the Charlotte team. I got traded there, you know, during the course of the season. But I think for all of us, we were guys that were still – had bounced around a little bit, but we all had the same kind of, like, common goal. We all went hard. So we was able to get to the playoffs for the first time in Charlotte together and have the number one defense in the league. Can't too many people say that.
Facts. Very nice, very nice. Well, current day, you joined the Mavs player development staff in 2021, working alongside God, Sham God, you know, obviously Jay Kidd, our guy Jared Dudley. What has that experience been like on the coaching side now?
It's been great. It's a learning lesson. It's definitely an adjustment, you know, from playing and then learning how to, like, articulate your thoughts and things that, you know, you learned along the years that came naturally, like, trying to explain it to somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's fun. It keeps me involved with the game. I honestly thought when I was done, I was like, when I hang them up, that's it. I'm out of here.
Right.
And then, you know, I did that for a little while. But then I started to miss the game. I started to miss just being around guys, yep. You know, and the camaraderie. So when J. Kidd got the job, he hit me up and was like, listen, come on. Got I need to. You. Just get in the building.
That's dope.
Yeah. You was the anchor of the championship squad. Come fuck with us. Yeah. Did you ever see yourself coaching? Like, I've been offered a couple situations, too. I just never saw myself in it. Did you see yourself possibly one day?
No, not at all. You know, when you say, I was like, okay, just let me come in, just get a feel and see how this is. You know, coaching is a dedication. They spend a lot of hours, more than any players in there. You know, they got
to get before. Because we can turn it off as players. Like,
exactly.
As coaches,
ain't no cutting
it
off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're constantly working on the next thing, film, breaking down things. It's 24/7.
Can you tell us a little bit about Derek Lively? You guys took him 12 overall. What have you liked so far about him?
He's active, very athletic young kid. Reminds me of myself a lot. Like, dude, he reminds me. The funny thing, Jason, when I came to the gym the day after he had the workout, pre-draft workout, and JK was like, man, I wish you'd have came yesterday. He was like, there's a kid that we thinking about taking that reminds me a lot of like you. He's like, and not just because he light skinned, but like he got, I start busting up laughing. He's like, he got a lot of the same attributes. And then as the draft was coming along, I watched a little bit of tape and I'm like, oh, they get this kid. It'll give me something to do, like a real
project
to work on.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the draft, and as that draft is unfolding, I'm like, they're gonna take this kid. And then they take him. Then I get to meet him and stuff. And he's a great dude.
Mm-hmm. That's something y'all need, though.
They definitely need it. That's always been the missing key for the Mavs, you know? And so I'm trying to get him right. He wants to learn. He's active, and right now, he's a sponge. So.
That's dope. What are the expectations look like? Obviously, you guys moved a lot to get Kyrie. You were able to re-sign Kyrie, which was a huge move. Also picked up Grant Williams.
That was big.
That was a huge piece.
And Seth Curry, on top of that, obviously have Lively as well. So, what are expectations for this team this year? I mean, you guys were, Luka, arguably one of the greatest players in the world.
Yeah.
Got Kai back. You guys have put some new pieces around on a defensive side as well. So,
yeah. I think the unit is like, way more balanced now.
Okay.
And I think they got a shot to be in the mix now. And like you said, Williams is a huge piece because you need that type of good guy, come with that type of energy, a real professional. Kai and Luka are two of the most talented players that, on this planet. I love the pieces that they put around them because that's what they were missing last year. You got to have those pieces that bring together the team.
Yep.
And so, they have those, but got to see, how they mesh together now.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the upbringing. Compton, where exactly did you grow up?
I actually was in Hanford, then San Bernardino, then Compton.
What's Hanford?
Hanford, California is like a farming town.
Okay.
So I grew up on like a farm.
Okay.
I would never expect that, bro.
Everybody's like, what?
Especially because Tyson used to have that curl too.
Come on, bro.
He had that light skin LA curl. So I would
have. How you don't be saying this though?
Him or lose my light skin to it.
No, I didn't have a curl.
You lose.
You lose.
Jason Thomas. All y'all had.
I don't know about the coldest curl.
Lose that cold curl though.
Luge was Slew, I came front.
Luge
was probably the coldest. Yeah. My shit used to get a little,
Matt's crisp too.
But my shit was always like wavy though.
Yeah, my shit didn't get, I didn't do curly until like a couple years in, and then it changed my trajectory of my, never mind, this is a family show.
They went from, to the roof.
Yeah, man, what? One curl.
But it was, I feel like I had a great upbringing. It made me, made me who I am, made me tough, and then going, being in Compton, and, playing there and representing you have to. So it was a great time. Had a lot of love. So.
You went through a lot though, sophomore year, junior year. You would crash on your homie's couch, homeless.
Yeah.
Talk about being able to deal with that as a youngster, but also, understanding where you wanted to go and not get caught up in everything around us.
Yeah.
I know how hard that is.
Man, yeah, during that time, my junior year, I was sleeping on couches and sophomore, junior year. And, I was just trying to stay locked in on, where I knew I was trying to get. Because you're right, you're getting pulled and everything. And there's plenty of cases where my life could have really turned different because I was in different places, like where things was going down, and like my life could have went in a different direction. But I thank God, I, you know, always like stay in the right direction. And even those around me, you know, always understood where I was at, you know, and I appreciate them too because, you know, they always made sure I was on the right path. So if anything was ever going down or whatever, they're like, yo, you don't need to be here. Yep. It's time for you to take off.
Yeah,
and that, you know, I still got love for that today.
Yeah. Compton Dominguez. Legendary. I know all about him. How was the hoop scene? And talk about coming up, you know, in that era, because basketball was, high school basketball was different when we was coming up.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Compton Dominguez was one of those schools. Talk about that experience of, you know, growing up in Compton and playing with Compton Dominguez with all those high school legends that you played with.
I think the difference back then is like, it was like myths. Like anytime you heard about a player or heard about a school, it was talk. It was no like YouTube or something
couldn't
like that. So you didn't get a chance to see it.
Word of mouth.
Build it up, you know, in your head or whatever. And so for us, we built that up too, because we knew how everybody felt about us. So, I mean, we walk in the gyms, we walk in hoodies deep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, we're gonna win either the fight or the game. So what it's gonna be? And we came in with that type of mentality. And I mean, it was a hell of an era.
Tommy Prince, Jason Thomas.
Tayshaun,
the most dropped name ever on all the smoke. Term. But what was come on? We got this our Term segment. What was Term game like?
Term was nice point guard.
Yeah, really?
Like your Term was gritty.
I call him 10-day Term now because he swear the Lakers don't call him.
He still feel like
he posts his highlights of LA Fitness like he's just nice too, dog.
But he doing more gang banging in the video than playing basketball, like punking people. Like Term, you can't just cuss everybody. He cussing people out when he make a shot.
Hey, Term will come back and play pickups and start fights.
Yeah, like,
that's what he's talking about.
You don't go here no more, bro.
Oh, you go back to school?
Yeah, dog, you don't go here no more. We get somebody new from another hood. Come Term, banging up, bro. This is our team, Term.
Right, this is our team, Term.
This is our team. You're messing our team up,
Nigga,
bro.
You graduated 4 years ago. What you doing up here?
Why are you there?
That's Term, though.
Shout out to
Term.
Shout out
to Term. But it was, I mean, you know, Tay, like you said, Jason Thomas, I got a chance to watch. I didn't play with Kenny or our Term, but I got a chance to watch him before I came there. And that's really what made me want to go there, you know, the culture there. Tay was like the most clean cut out of them all.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of like, you know, set the tone of how to get to the McDonald's All-American, how to rep all of that. So I knew that I wanted to go to the league from high school. So I knew whatever Tay did, like he was like at the top of the top and going to college. I was like, whatever he did, I got to kind of surpass him. So he set like a great bar for me.
You had like a legendary... Was it junior high or freshman year, like a 60-minute interview?
Oh, yeah.
Talk to us about that, because there was talks. I mean, obviously it was talks, but you going to the league, was it freshman year or out of high school?
Yeah,
or junior high?
Yeah, they
tried to get me to go out here in California for y'all, man.
Huh?
Yeah. Y'all doing 60 minutes. Shea Cotton was on Sports Illustrated as a freshman.
Moved,
I'm like, I know, I should have
came on down.
Damn, it's good out here.
But talk to us about, obviously what that was like, and then, you know, that's a huge platform at an early age.
It was. Honestly, I did not know what I was like actually doing. They said 60 Minutes wanted to do a piece. I just thought it was like a news channel.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize the magnitude of what it was going to do. Because after that, I was like, I got a target on my
That's
back.
It's different.
Like, you know, especially like they put that target and labeling you that dude. Everybody's shooting for you now. And I didn't realize that. I was, at first it was so exciting having cameras following me and stuff. I was like, oh yeah, like, you know, I'm that dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then until you gotta be that dude. And then I was like almost embarrassed by it and like embarrassed by all the notoriety that was coming.
You're still a kid though, dog.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like I'm battling all of these things at the time. And you know how it is where, you know, in the hoop game where you got all of the vultures and everybody that's around that, you know, see where you're going and everybody trying to have a, you know, a piece or be the person to direct you and this and that. But after that, it like, yeah, it opened my name up to the world. So everybody figured I was the next one. So then it was like I had to deal with more than I was already dealing with.
David Hamilton, a.k.a. Super Crip. Talk about Super Crip, man.
Dang.
I got a story about Super Crip as soon as he talks about himself.
So I'm coming to high school. I didn't know who Super Crip was. I didn't know nothing about Super. I'm playing against him. And He was just big athletic dude, right? And we going at it or whatever. Like, he hit me hard. I hit him hard. I want to say he put his elbow up or something like that and was like, don't move it. I'm like, what? So I hit it down, and then we playing. So then after the game, coach was like, see, I like that. Rest of them punks, that's how I like that. He's like, you didn't back down from Super Crip at all. I was like, who? I'm like, oh my goodness. Who is Super? Like, this the dude, like, you know what he known for? I'm like, no, with a name like Super Crip, I already know what he known for.
What he's about. So,
and then after that, the funny thing, he came up was like, hey, I got respect for you. I love you. Like, and then like dab me up and all that. And it's but it's funny, so I had no clue that he was
Super Crip.
After that, we was cool as hell the whole time.
So we played in he was my age, so he's maybe 2 years older than you.
Yes, yeah.
So we played in the Magic Johnson round ball game, and this dude got shot. I don't know if it was the day before, but maybe 2 days before.
Yeah, a couple days before, okay. He got shot. The game was like a Friday or Saturday. Mm-hmm. He got shot that Tuesday or Wednesday.
And played in the game.
Yeah.
Shot where though?
Yeah.
Leg?
He got shot in the leg.
Well, man, no. Super yes, bro.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, he got game for no reason.
Yeah,
bro.
I know. He damn so was super.
But he was nice too. He went to Auburn for a minute. I just started following him on Instagram. I found him maybe a couple months ago and started following him. But it's good. Yeah, I DM'd him real quick, but it was just good to see him. No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. We in our 40s now.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying.
He might have let that rest, but yeah. Shout out David Hamilton, man. Good dude. Real good dude. Yeah.
Sure.
So you say you end up going straight to the pro. You say KG was your idol growing up. But do you know KG get a lot of his swag from J-Mac, Lonnie McCoy?
That. Damn, that's legendary.
He was the original, get that shit out of here.
Rebounds. I'm already knowing. Yeah. I know his game. I grew up watching him. I just didn't know that story.
He's one of my favorite players,
man.
Yeah.
He's the reason why I dunked the way I dunked.
Hell yeah.
I was throwing that shit too.
Huh? Yeah, exactly. I seen old highlights of him, when I first came in. Y'all games are similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got, like, you know, you always find similar people, and then, especially when they're doing it at a high level, and you try to model it.
Any light skin.
And add pieces. Exactly. Yeah. Every light skin. I guess. We athletic.
talk about idolizing KG, though. Like, KG is a part of our family. We all know. You know, one of the Hall of Famers, one of the best power forwards ever played the game. How did he motivate you, and what did you idolize about KG?
I just respected the way he approached the game, his intensity. I loved the way he played the game. I always admired and that's what I tried to pattern after because I felt like he never cut the game short. Like, you know, no matter what, like, he came, showed up. And whenever I played against him, when I got to the league, he still didn't disappoint. He brought it every single night, you know, and that's what I've always respected about him, respect to this day. And I respect players like that I feel like really pushed the needle of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, he's one of them players for sure.
Right, yep. You think going out of high school, come back anytime soon?
I hope so, especially now with all of the rule changes, you know, or... Now that athletes are making money in school, allowed to make, and giving other opportunities, it's not just you either got to go to college or, you know, when they took it away, it was either overseas or one and done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope they give our athletes, because also we're starting to get passed up.
Right.
Like, by the Europeans.
Yeah, exactly.
So if they don't do something, like, it's going to be a European. I know they want a world game.
Right.
Which is great.
Right.
But... we need to allow our athletes the same type of platform and the same opportunities that they're allowing to, you know, the happen across the world. Exactly.
And it never makes sense to us. You can go to war at 18, but you can't take care of your family, 18 play a sport. It's crazy.
That don't make no
sense. Dumbest shit ever.
And to even try to take away, you know, opportunity to be able to provide for your family.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, in its own right.
It's crazy.
You know what? That is crazy because you can go work at McDonald's, but you can't go to the
anywhere.
NBA. Right, yeah.
Yes, it just don't make no sense.
It's what Kelsey,
you know why, though?
What Kelsey said, who was in that room for representation, though, right. When they was talking that about
too.
That shit.
Mm. But who mostly benefits from kids coming out of high school? Us.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so anything to negate us from getting ahead, they're going to fuck with it. Yeah. Bastards. Kobe. Any Kobe stories?
Man, yeah. So during the Olympics,
I want you. I know you got a story for me and Charlotte too. So I probably want you to think of some
crazy ass stories. So we're at the Olympics, and we're going. I would always me and Kobe would like sit next to each other on the bus. So we're getting off, and we're going in the Olympic Village or whatever. They had like they had something for us to do there or whatever. And then so we go in, and then it's like, and Kobe was like, I mean, the star of stars. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like that dude. I mean, you know, it's the USA team, it's built of stars and all that, but Kobe was at a different level no matter where we went. like, literally. I'd never seen anything like that. And so, but we go into the Olympic Village, and then there's all these athletes walking around or whatever. And so we're walking around for a while. We might be there for, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes. Kobe was like, man, he's sitting there and he's like getting quiet and getting fidgety and antsy. And I'm like, I was like, I called him Killer. I was like, what's up, Killer? What's up with you? He's like, man, I got to get out of here, man. I was like, what? He's like, I can't be with all these fucking athletes. Got my fucking blood boiling. I don't want these motherfuckers around me until I got to see them. I was like, bruh, it was supposed to be like a whole, like, you know, festival right? thing where everybody's in there happy shit. I was like, bro, I don't know where you at right now, bro. I just chill at the festival, man. Like, Cole was always.
In go mode all the time.
Always. I'm like, bruh. I'm like, Cole, they coming up asking for autographs and pictures.
He's off
like,
that.
Cole, they love you, bro. Like, man, I don't. Fuck them. I ain't gonna be around athletes. I was like,
that's why we love him, dog.
Exactly.
That's why we love him.
That's why I call him Killer. I was like, because you was always in that mentality.
To be so great with that attitude, bro, that's why we love him,
man,
dog.
And this is like, this was at the end.
Yeah. I
mean, close to the end, and he still was like that.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Pre-draft process. How many teams did you work out for?
I think I worked out for like 6 or 7.
Where did you think you were going?
I thought I was going. Originally, had me slotted to Golden State. And then after I worked out for the Clippers, they had the number 2 pick. I thought I was going to the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I was hyped about it.
Back up to the crib.
Man, I'm going to be at the crib. I'm like going from Dominguez to the Clippers. And then they had D-Miles, mm-hmm. Q,
that a young team.
Corey had that young team. Yeah. I was like, we about to be exciting.
Like,
we about to, you know, turn the city upside down. I was hyped about that. And then, you know, to get traded during the draft. And then I have to go to Chicago. I was sick at first.
So they first announced you go number 2 after Kwame Brown goes 1 to Washington. You go 2 to the Clippers. What's that initial Tyson Chandler, Los Angeles Clipper? What's that feeling like for you and your family?
Man, just
besides short lived.
I thought I was gonna like pass out. Honestly, like as because the Clippers told me they were going to take me. Mm-hmm. So after my workout, they were like,
"That what you want?
You're there at 2, that's what I want." It was like, if you're there at 2, we would take you. I was like, "Oh hey, I'm there. I don't even need to work out for nobody else." Then I just no, work out, you know. So then like David Stern is up there, and I'm like, I'm holding. If you watch the film, like I'm like you can see me like gasp and like put my head down like after he said my name, because I was holding my breath and he said my name. I was like, like thank God. And, you know, I go, it's like, it's that surreal feeling of, you know, we've all watched this, you know, like your entire youth upbringing. You watch all the drafts, you see all the new talent coming in, and you wish it's you. You play it out in your head, you dream it. Mm-hmm. So then to be up on the stage and shaking David Stern's hand was just surreal. Like, you looking out in the crowd now, like, I always see this from my TV. This is what it looks like.
I'm in it now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, damn, this is what it is. So I feel like every one of those moments that I was able to accomplish in the league, it's like, that was it. Like, same thing when I won a chip, it was like, getting on the stage was like, oh shit, like, this is what all of them is always saying. Like, this is what it is from, because you watch it from TV until you're able to experience it. So whenever you experience it, it's just like an out-of-body experience.
So your heart drops, you get traded to Chicago, you said you felt sick for a little bit, but you're there with a young Eddie Curry. You guys are labeled the next Twin Towers. How good was Eddie?
Man, Eddie was good as shit. Eddie, like, people don't understand, Eddie was very talented.
And
like
big and strong,
man,
too.
Eddie was that big and could do a backflip. Like, was like...
Was he drafted super... the year before?
Or no, same year. Same draft.
What
so Chicago had the 4th pick.
Okay.
And then they traded Elton Brand
for you.
For me. Okay. And swapped with the Clippers. That's how Elton ended up in Clippers. Uh-huh. Like, swapped a second pick or whatever.
Okay.
And me and Eddie didn't like each other for no reason except for on some hoops just being pitted against each other and ranked and da-da-da-da. So I remember when I got there, we had the most awkward, like,
press
interview, press conference. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we in the training room, And like I'm right here, he might be like 6 feet away from me, and neither one of us are looking at each other. We just like, like in there.
Fuck this nigga.
And, man, like exactly. And then we go do the interview or whatever, and then we come out. We're just like, hey, you know, like I'll see you in a week or so when we have training camp. And then once we start like being around each other more and meeting each other's families, like I fell in love with dude, great heart. But I mean, he was a beast, like. Man. A beast, soft touch, could shoot the ball, like
feet, light
toes, yeah. Like 300 something pounds. It was crazy how talented he was. He probably was the most talented player in our draft, to be honest. Like just coming in. Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who are some of your vets you leaned on early on in Chicago?
Big Oak.
He slap anybody in front of you?
Absolutely.
He goes
several people. Several people. And he would be to always make me. Man, I remember he was like, run with our Comey young fella. I didn't know what he was doing. Like, I got to do everything. Oh, and he'd go and smack somebody. I'm like, I want to be behind. Like, I'm not involved with any of this. Like, I don't know what the hell is going on.
He said, I'm sorry.
I'm like, I apologize for whatever. Like, but I was like, Oak made me roll with him. I love Oak, man. Yeah. Oak was like the best vet, man. The best vet. But yeah, he would rough me up too. Like,
would he?
Yeah, we'd be like, cause I remember we were in film, and I'm sitting in the front, and he would always talk to me and Eddie, like all the time. He's always had something to say. He would make me and Eddie sit, like the TV's right here. He would make us sit right there. Like, like, we had to be like, no, get closer to the TV.
This nigga was just a bully, huh?
Just straight bully. Still like that. And I remember he was like, he said something in film. Like, he was like, something, I'm smack you too, or something. I was like, you're not going to just smack me. I was like, you might win, but you ain't going to just smack me without a fight. Mm-hmm. And he was like, all right. And then Cartwright was the coach. And as soon as I said that, Cartwright was like, all right, film's over. I was like, you know how to make this shit die down a little bit? Like, let him calm down a little bit.
Because he wanted.
Man, so then everybody walk out. I'm like,
it's like the after school fight in high school, exactly. Where everybody's coming to. Yeah.
Exactly. No, he waited.
Yeah.
No, he, yeah. Like, you gotta walk outside the stairs. Like, we're in the film room, and you had to walk up to the stairs or whatever, and then we get up to the stairs, and then we just start tussling. He's strong as shit. We're rolling back and forth. He tossed me. I come back into the training room, back cut up. Trainer's like, "What happened?" I was like, "Me and Oak was wrestling," and then go on to practice.
That's it.
But Oak was crazy as hell. But
you was gone when he squared up on Gerald Wallace. I think you was gone already.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. I heard about that.
He was a coach then, though, right?
He was a coach then.
He was a coach. But he was, like, but with me, Eddie, and all, like, it was on some, like, it was big brother, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Even
that's
when
how
we
he
tussled,
was.
It was like, and I'm telling the story, like, just, like, that Oak was, like, my big bro. Mm-hmm.
He was, and he got into it with Gerald because he was, you know, they was trying to change the vibe, him and Coach Silas.
Yeah.
Just trying to change the mold of the team to, you know, just get to, like, a winning aspect and... Guys used to have towels on their head, right?
Mm. So Gerald always like that.
Hey, this is how Oak be tripping, Jay. Gerald Wallace put the towel on his neck because he had long dreads, and he didn't want to sweat on them, right? So Oak told him before the game, like, we're not doing none of that. We're going to look professional. So Gerald did it. You know, Gerald, our franchise player.
Yeah.
He yanked it off Gerald's neck, take his towel, and throw it at him. Like, we ain't doing that. I told you we ain't doing that. So, you know, Gerald, they gamble together all the time. So Gerald, like, nah, put it back on. I'm gonna see you after the game, and I told you not to do it. All right, remember that. 1, 2, 3, Bobcats. Coaches walk out. All you see is Oak make a U-turn, come right back in front of Gerald Wallace. Now, didn't I say I was gonna slap you? Stood right in front of, and Gerald didn't get up. He's standing. I had to. I stood in front. I said, "Oak, you are a coach now.
You can't
please
do
don't slap Gerald Wallace. Please don't do it, bro.
I know
Gerald gonna get up and fight, but Oak, yeah. You a coach now. You can't just. He's looking at me." I'm like, oh, I ain't never begged nobody like I begged him not to slap Gerald Wallace. Right? I say, please, dog. Just, you a coach now, you can't do it.
Stop,
he walked
him out.
But Oak meant it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Oak mean what he said.
Paul Silas jacked up Tyrus Thomas. Put hands on him.
Did he really?
What?
OG? Rest in peace?
Rest in peace, OG Paul Silas.
What?
Tyrus got slick with him on the bench. You know what I'm saying? He came back in the locker room. He was talking, and Tyrus still going. So he just ran up on Tyrus and kind of healed him up right there.
That's old school, dude.
He just dropped him up right quick, like, boy, nigga, don't you know how I kicked your ass? Mm.
Yeah, boy, that was a funny team, though. Dude, it was like that old school league would always be, because it wasn't nothing. Like, the fights was just fights, and then I was
they over cool. with. Like, they over
with. That's
yeah.
it. Like, you move mm-hmm. on.
2006, you get traded to the Hornets, of course. Your first year of the team is in OKC because of Katrina. How was that?
I was happy we were there. It was a tough transition because the city was still, you know, struggling and trying to get back. Yeah. We were able to do a lot, like, you know, in the community, which was great, and to try to, you know, help the process. And we also, like, it was great that our team was good.
Right.
You know, because it gave people in the city an outlet and somewhere to go, some hope, you know. And then connecting with CP, you know, and creating that connection. I really felt like I got into the league when I went there.
Yeah.
I felt like, okay, this is what the league should be like.
Right.
You know, before, like, my first 5 years, I was like, the turnover, I think I had 5 coaches in my 5 years in Chicago, 2 GMs. There was only, like, 4 or 5 players that would stay every year. They would mm-hmm. always trade everybody and, you know, and turn over the roster. And then when I got to the Hornets, Byron Scott was the coach, and he was like, look, forget about all that. Like, I know you can hoop. I watched you growing up. Like, I want you to get back to that. And then the young point guard in CP was coming off of his rookie year and coming into his second year. Mm-hmm. And then me and him just formed a connection. And, like, funny, that lob happened because we was arguing. He kept...
He definitely gonna argue with CP.
Oh, CP gonna argue at some question. Point. He kept throwing me the... He was either a bounce pass or a low pass. And I got fouled, and then I wasn't shooting a good... I wasn't shooting good at the line. Or so I can't remember, but I wasn't shooting good at the line. And I got fouled, and I was like, throw the ball up. And then he was like... well, if you dunk the motherfucker, then you ain't got to worry about shooting the free throws. I was like, I will dunk it if you stop throwing the shit down to my fucking knees. And he was like, all right, the next one I'm going to throw up then. And the next one he threw up, and I dunked that shit. I was like, keep fucking throwing it up. And that's how I lost.
That shit became...
Because that shit was deadly.
That shit how easy was them buckets you was getting fucking with CP on the pick and rolls?
Easy money. Simple. Turn the game simple. It was a nice connection. Mm-hmm. It was a very nice connection. We could read each other. It was like playing a video game.
Mm-hmm. How good was he, though?
Man, CP is good. CP is, like, extremely good. He sees the game.
Too smart, bro.
CP, so, like, he sees the game ahead. He could tell you what's going to happen as he's saying it. He could set up plays. Like, I would have whatever rebounds. I might have 14 rebounds and 8 points. At the end of the game, like, Tyson, I'm about to get you a dunk. All right, do this, da-da-da. I'm throwing it up. You'll be right there. I'm like, all right, I do what he said, and then boom, sure right enough. There. Like, right there. Like, he can get anybody a bucket, like, when he wanted to get somebody a bucket and, you know, manipulating the game.
I think he gets a bad rep, you know, because I played a handful of years of him. You did. And when you get in those arguments, it's not that he's just an old-school dude, so he's straight to you. He's nothing bullshit. He doesn't sugarcoat. And people, if you soft or not soft, if you just not you—
Oh, you can battle with it in any kind of way.
It's like, it's going to be a But, yes. I mean, to me, he wants to win. He's a leader.
Yes.
And great to play with.
Like I agree.
He said, it will get you a bucket.
I agree. I can ride with anybody. See, I never had a problem with CP because I knew, like, he wants to win.
That's it.
Like, I can ride with anybody that's putting in the work like that and challenges. It's not like he wasn't putting work and challenging you.
Right.
He putting in work and just challenging dudes.
He has the right to.
And he has the right to challenge you. You know what I mean? Like, great players are going to do that because mm-hmm. He's trying to take it to another. He want to win. And that's like CP's whole thing. It's like, you know, even the dirty stuff he do or whatever, it's like CP is a competitor. He's one of the best competitors that this game has had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody don't take it the right way.
Yep.
But, you know, if you can appreciate a competitor and you can appreciate the game, then you appreciate him.
Yep.
Year 2, y'all went 56 games. Peja, Bonzi,
the squad.
David West, Mo Pete, lost to the Spurs in 7 in round 2. What was the best memories of that year?
You know, that was one of my funnest years, even though, you know, we lost there to the Spurs.
Yeah,
it was just a fun, pure.
You guys were back in New Orleans that year, right?
Yeah. We're in New Orleans. Like, I remember even after, like, we did our exit meetings, like, we brung it in and was like, I can't remember our chant, but we brung it in. Like, we knew this team probably wasn't going to be together, and it was just, like, great chemistry and a lot of love. Like we got the most out of what we can get. And it's like we lost to a better team. Like, you know, and it just was what it was. But it was like, it was such a great unit. It was like a family. And especially what New Orleans was going through at that time, it really brought us together. It really brought us together. And it felt like a family then.
What does that team rank in terms of most talented?
For you.
It probably is like the third most talented team that I've been on.
Dallas
was the best. Mm-hmm. The Knicks would be second, with Melo and and J-Kid and Raymond and Shump and JR and Novak and
everybody.
Like, yeah, that we had a squad. Knicks tape, exactly. Like that unit, Kane, like that was a real.
I forgot Kmart was there too, huh?
Yeah, we had like, that was a fun time.
Him and Kmart
at the city live. Yeah, man, on the dude, I never thought I'd be able to play with a player like Kmart.
Yeah, dog, y'all on the same team.
Man, because we the type of dudes to just
bump heads
when you see each other.
Yeah.
So then when we was on the same team, like, I was like, this is it. I got another dog, like, right on the neck. Yeah. Like, if I don't got it this night, I know he do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was nothing but respect.
Olympic basketball, alternate in 08, made the FIBA roster in 10, and then the Olympics in 12. What was that experience like representing your country?
It was one of those experiences that you don't think that you're going to get to or accomplish, especially the way my career was going. I didn't think that, like, I was going to get that opportunity. When my agent told me that Colangelo, like, wanted me to even try out for the first initial roster, I remember I was at my mom's house, and I was like, wait, what? I was like, hold on. I was in the house. I'm in the house. I was like, wait, say that again? And he was like, the USA team wants you to come. I was like, damn. That's all I needed was an invite. And at the time, you know, I was coming off injury, so I wanted to showcase and really turn my career around. And, you know, Jay Colangelo gave me the opportunity and put me on that stage. Then making the team, like, I was happy to be there, but then making the team was a great accomplishment. And then to be able to just be in practice, to sharpen your tools with all of them dudes, because that was the best part about it, was competing against each other in practice. you got so much better. You learned so much, you know, from the guys over there.
Practice.
And then fast forward to being able to walk during the opening ceremonies, like with every athlete representing their country, and then taking that walk, and then winning gold medal, and then again having another one of those surreal moments where you're on stage and you're looking around like, wow, like, this is what it's like. It was just a feeling. I was like, this is going to be incredible for my legacy and my family to be like, we have a gold medalist in our family, and I was super proud about that.
That's dope. Any great stories that come to mind? I mean, the stars were there: Kobe, Bron, Wade, Melo, Kid, to name a few. Any crazy practice stories, bus stories, planes, eating in gas stations?
It's just so many stories. What I think it was always live. Bron was always the jokester. He kept it loose and funny all the time. Bron is actually funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Melo controlled the music. He was like Radio Raheem. Melo always had a boombox coming on the bus. And then it was like the young crew, because you had young James, young KD, young Russ, and they was all together. And they kept like the youth of it. Mm-hmm. So it was like a great collection.
What was Kobe the grumpy old man?
Kobe was the older dude that wasn't trying to hear all that laughing and joking and shit. Like, like Bron playing Kobe over there in the corner, icing, like, what is this new stuff? But yeah, Kobe was like Kobe. And then, you know, everybody else's personalities.
2010, Charlotte. We got the number one defense in the league, Coach Larry Brown, Jerrell Wallace. What you remember about that year?
Do you remember when MJ came, took over practice?
Yes.
Remember me and him got into it in practice?
Yes.
Told people don't believe that story, but I said he came and took over practice. Me and him got into it, and he started telling me about taking off his shoes and all the accomplishment he was. I'd never be MJ and all this. And we was going there. And they beat us in
second
practice.
Unit.
Second
yeah,
you, Benz.
Yeah. But Stack was...
It was DJ Augustine.
Stack was across the gym screaming at him. I was like, I don't think Stack gonna be here tomorrow.
Straight up. No bullshit. I was going at him.
He held back. And I was like, is he talking to MJ like this?
I'm like, nigga, that's 10, 20 years ago. You can't do it now.
Shit.
Nah, he still
didn't. He wasn't just killing, but he put the winning attitude in the second team.
Pumped it in him.
And DJ Augustine was on fire.
I was going to say, he turned it MJ or Steph Curry.
Yeah, for real. DJ Augustine just started making everything. I'm like, yep. That's what MJ do.
That's crazy.
That's funny as shit.
Traded to Dallas. You join a stacked team, no pun intended. Dirk, J. Kidd, Sean Marion, Jason Terry. What was that team like?
Jason Terry alone. Oh,
man, Jet, dog. Jet, dude, it was a team like full of characters and full of, like Stack said, when we were at the Hornets, we were all guys who had been on different journeys, accomplished different things in the league, had, you know, got paid already, and now was like on a team together and really legit just wanted to win.
That's it.
Like, and that's why that unit came together. It was an incredible team, incredible ride. Dirk played basketball that I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that dude was a machine during that run. Jet hit big shots for us. Jet hit big shots, man.
He hit 10 threes against us. It was the Lakers. Remember, y'all swept us in the first round. Y'all beat the shit out. Remember when Bynum took out Barea at the end of the game?
I was hot.
Beat the shit out of us, bro.
Damn it.
Swept us.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I remember I was telling family, like, I got you in the next round, like, when we come back to L.A., because I never thought, like, it was going to be a sweep.
Beat us down.
But it was, after that, I was like, all right, we...
But that journey was crazy. So you beat us, then OKC, San Antonio first.
We started with...
you beat us in the first round.
No, you guys were sick. It was Portland.
Oh, okay, you guys in the second round?
I think we started. Yeah, Portland, and then we got y'all in the second. And then we had OKC.
That was a young OKC team.
Man,
it was tough.
With James, and James was still there. James, Russ, Sir, y'all, like, that was a real tough team. Kirk.
Yeah.
And then the finals against the Heat, who, you know, they had just signed Bron that summer.
They wasn't ready for
not at all.
They were the underdogs, though. Remember, everyone thought Miami's going to walk through.
Everybody thought Miami's going to
be. Because they had the names, but when you look at the roster and the guys that y'all had the better team.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm. What was that finals matchup like? Obviously, all the hype surrounding that team and the big three. And, you know, like you said, Dirk was on another planet that whole season. But what was that finals experience like?
It was incredible. That first game, though, like, you could watch tape. You could, you know, try to anticipate. They shocked us with how fast, explosive, and athletic they were. Mm-hmm. D-Wade and Bron on the wings. I mean, it was like a dunk show, like, that first game. And we were caught off guard by it. Mm-hmm. We had to make adjustments to it. And... The series turned. They was whooping us the second game, like, and we were still almost in shell shock. What turned the series was when D-Wade hit the three bar bench and held it up, and then like walked by our whole bench, like super disrespectful. We after that it was like, all right, wake up, like, now woke us up.
Yeah.
Like, nah, that's when I'm like, okay, all right, like, I don't even care what happened, like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
And we was literally in the huddle, and it like shifted for us at that point. And then we got back to us, and then started rolling them off.
Mm. Yeah, Dirk was on one.
Dirk was playing at a whole different level.
2011, you go to the Knicks. Talk about the Knicks tape. We just had Shump on. Shump, and he was talking about it. That team had a lot
loaded.
Of talent.
I didn't even know Kmart was on it. He didn't mention Kmart yesterday. Y'all was loaded.
Yeah, y'all were. A lot of team.
Who was
the coach?
Team.
Woody?
Woodson.
So I got two questions, though. With all that talent, why didn't it work? And the second question is, who's to blame?
I can't do that.
Go ahead and answer just the first one.
Who's to blame? That was a hell of a team.
It was.
Dog.
It was. It. We allowed. We allowed the success that we had get to us, and we was in chill mode, like
got complacent.
Yeah, like as if we had done something. And I remember me and Jason was just coming off of off the championship from Dallas, and then Jason came so 2 years later. And then so now we're making this run, and it was like we were both trying to, like, you know, speak it into existence, different part of the locker room. So Jason would take certain tasks, I would take certain tasks. And we were rolling. And then up until the playoffs, for some reason, we won the first series, and then we got laxed. We were supposed to, so we finished Boston. We beat Boston.
What seed were you guys going into the playoffs? I don't remember.
Damn. We were top three. Maybe like Miami was.
Was it one or two? Or we were two or three?
Two seed. I thought it was two seed.
Yeah, we were some. We were top three. I can't remember if Miami or I don't know if India. I don't know who had to. No, because we had home. So I think Miami might have been one. We might have been two or something like that. And we was whooping Miami that year. Like, I mean, because Melo was like that year. And so we played the Boston series. We had to play one more. We should have beat them. We should have handled them, and we should have swept them, I think it was. And then we end up having to play either five games or six games.
I can't remember.
So if it was six, we should have beat them in five, and then we end up having to go to the six. The sixth game, Indiana Pacers had wrapped up their series. If we say we should have won five, and then we both would have had just say 3 or 4 days of rest or whatever, and then play. We had to play an extra game, so then we finished on Friday, and then game one of the playoffs for the next series was on a Sunday. Mm. It was an early game, and we didn't have a shoot around, so they canceled shoot around, which me and Jay were like, wait, no, like we're going to another series, like we got to prepare for this team. No, we're gonna do it. We're gonna go over that shoot around the next morning, or during the morning of the game. So we ended up not being able to have a shoot around. So we ended up not being able to go over our strategy.
Yeah.
So Indiana comes in and sneaks game one. So now we behind the eight ball. We win game two. We go back to Indiana 1-1. They blitzed us. So we come back to New York down 3-1. Mm. We win the game in New York, so now we take it back, and then they ended the series in Indiana, and then that was that. Mm. I really honestly feel like how we got past that, I feel like we probably had a legitimate shot to win the chip that year.
Who came out the East that year? That was Miami. 2012?
I want to say did Miami win the – Miami won it the year – yeah, because Miami won it the year after Dallas. That was Miami was trying to go for the back to back, and I really feel like we would have beat them that year with that Knicks team. No offense to them, I feel like we had the unit for it.
How great was Melo?
Melo was on. He was like, I at that time, I mean, thought he was challenging for the best player in the league, like at that moment, because he was doing everything. You know, he could rebound the ball, pass the ball. He was big. He could see all the defense. And he was scoring crazy. He was just super locked in. And then again, we had all the pieces around it.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Tap back rebound. Known for that, the king of that. What? How did that come about? Not being able to get the rebound, so you just thinking, just let me tap it out.
Yep.
So it's funny you say that. So you never thought about tapping it out so far that's going to the other end?
So I got it from the thought of Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
Right? So Rodman was a great rebounder, and he would do it and just keep tapping the ball till he got it to him, like to himself. And you know, you would draw him crazy, like, you know, and you finally get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
When I started becoming a good rebounder, and then guys were, you know, they double team me on box out and stuff, I wasn't like, I don't know what made him crafty to be able to do that, but I tried that, but I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I was like, all right, I could jump higher and more athletic this way. So I was like, all right, I'm going to treat this like it's almost volleyball, and I'll jump everybody. I know where all my guys are offensively because as we're moving, I know the plays we're running. I still know where they're at. So I can always find one of them blindly. So it's always kind of like a blind pass. So if it went out, I just tried to, you know, tip it to where I knew, like, one of my teammates were going to be.
Mm. Started at a lot of players, a lot of all the big men doing that.
Well, I mean, it's crazy. I'll tell a story because we haven't had him on the show yet, but I'm looking forward to getting him. So I'm with the Clippers at this time, and young DeAndre Jordan starting to kind of find his legs. And I used to tell him, bro, watch Tyson Chandler. He plays his role. He blocks shots. He rebounds. He tips that motherfucker out, and he plays defense. Like, watch Tyson. He's an Olympian. He's an all-star. He's getting paid because he was trying to figure out, like, what's my role? Blake and CP or this?
Yeah.
Bro, you're just as good and just as important,
yep.
But you're not that type of player.
Yep.
Like, watch Tyson. If you start watching Tyson, and sure enough, the nigga started watching you and tipping and rebound. Next thing you know, he's on the Olympic team and all defense and all-star. And I was just like, watch Tyson.
I just ran into DJ.
Did you?
And me and DJ have never really had, you know, we see each other, but it's kind of move, you know, and we've never really had that moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw him, you know, here, and I went over to congratulate him. You know, I'm like, hey, because I was so happy for him that, you know, he accomplished that. And I went to tell him, like, I'm so happy for you, bro. And he pulled me in, and he was like, man, I just want to tell you, like, you know, I appreciate, you know, watching you from afar. Like, you don't know what you did for
my career. Right hand of God, bro. I told you, I used to tell him to watch Tyson Chandler, bro. Watch film, watch the games, watch Tyson.
And it meant so much to me. You know what I mean?
That's
just hearing
dope.
That from him, it was like,
because it's all love.
That's really dope. Yeah, that motherfucker listen.
You dealt with a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of injury in your career. But 2012 Defensive Player of the Year, how did that feel to be able to have that award, just to, you know, to put that on the mound the way home?
Man, it felt dope to finally, because I felt like DJ, right? I felt like, damn, like, I feel like I'm changing teams, I'm putting in work, I'm working my ass off. Like, I feel like I'm helping you. Like, I feel like I was just as important as the person who
Absolutely.
Was scoring it.
You're just not getting the accolades.
Right? I'm just not getting the accolades. Yep. And it's like, I like, you know, in my own private time, like, I was hurt and angry, like, you know, like, and so to finally be recognized, like, for the work that you're putting in, you know, on that type of stage, it was like I was so appreciative and, like, you know, like, finally it's being recognized. You know, the contributions that I'm doing, the impact that I'm making, and even, like, you know, thing like that was great individual, the same thing, all, like, having, like, it's like that started it, like, for me. It's like once, I don't know who or why or how, but once it started getting recognized, it's like, okay, now everybody recognizes for some reason.
People but I've been doing importance. This, though. Yeah. But I've been doing it.
Exactly. And I'm just now, you're, what was that, 12 for me or something like that?
Right.
Like, you just, I'm like, that's no different. Mm-hmm. Like, really, I had better years defensively.
Right.
Like, I had a better year that year in Dallas. Like, you know, like, for what I did to that team and this and that. But it wasn't talked about. It. I mean, it was talked, but, like, there was no accolades, right. like, you know, from it.
Make a few stops on the end of your career. Go back to Dallas, Phoenix, Lakers, Houston. Any of those teams, any fond memories that still stand out to you this day?
A young Phoenix, young book coming in.
He was cold, young, man. Too, right out the gates.
Hey, that's young so...
Book. Were you there? Was Earl White? You ever play for us?
Yep. So what first Earl was
he said yep.
I want to say he was assistant Book's rookie year, and then maybe he took over during half the year, I think.
Mid-season?
Yeah, I think he took over mid-season that year. But I remember the GM there, like, they had just signed because the reason why I went to Phoenix, my mom was sick. So my mom was battling cancer at the time. So because I had got better offers elsewhere, but I wanted to stay close. That was as close as I can get to LA where I knew I could drive to her appointments and stuff like that, or get to her appointments and stuff quick. So I signed with the Suns. I didn't even know the Suns roster, to be honest. So they had just signed back Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight, and that's, like, who they were so high on. Who were good players. They were, like, super high on. So then I'm coming, and then I play pickups. My first day of pickups, I'm seeing the roster. Like, I'm like, okay, like, you know, who's on this team? And then Book came. And Book.
That was his rookie year?
His rookie year. Like, and it's our first day playing, like, pickups. So it's my first day meeting him, seeing him, all that. And so we start playing, and, like, through, you know, the years and, like, being able to build the chemistry with CP. It's funny, I was just talking to a coach that CP had, and he was like, man, he was like when CP would, like, trying to tell a big to do something, like, man, Tyson used to do it this way. Like, Tyson did it this way. I was like, that's funny as hell. I had never heard that because I was like, Eric, I was like, CP did it this way, man. So I would try to, you know, imitate it. And so I was talking a book about different things. And so we run, you know, we playing pickup, and I'm like, bro, like, and so I'm guiding him, and he was able to pick up quick, like.
Student.
Yes, I could tell him something once, boom. I told him, like, I was like, yo, come off this pin down this way, you come, this is your looks, like, and this is what you're gonna see if you don't got that ball looking. Boom, he did it, and I was like, young players don't work like that, like, you know, like, not like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so instantly I knew, I was like, this kid is special, like, and he's gonna be special. Mm-hmm. And I remember afterwards, the GM was like, what do you think? And I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, the best player you got on your roster is that kid that you drafted, Devin Booker. And he was like, what? He was like, really? He was like, what do you think about, you know, Brent? I was like, they're good. I'm telling you. I was like, me, them, this roster, he better than all of us. That's the best player you got on this roster. And he was like, really? I was like.
Who was the GM at the time?
Yep, Ryan McDonald. He was the GM at the time.
No, Book was cold.
Man, Book came out
right out the gates.
Yeah.
When did you know it was time to walk away from the game? 19 years, right?
Yeah, man, I ain't gonna cut off, but I'm
telling you, bro, I got to commend, bro, because I seen what it took for him to get through a season. Remember, Charlie, you was dealing with your back, bro. Yeah. I'm talking about, bro, couldn't even walk, bro. Yeah. And he'll show up game time trying to push through. I seen it, bro. Yeah. I seen it. You was fighting. You was pushing through a lot of shit.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, because, you know, even when, like, I remember the doctor who vetoed my trade and, because I was supposed to go to OKC before I went to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor who vetoed my trade said that I wasn't going to play past my eighth year in the league. And, you know, you have to fight through a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I put in a lot of work to try to, like, keep myself on the court. You know, a lot of rehab, fought through a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of injuries. But, you know, I appreciate it now looking back. And when you say, when did I know? Yeah, it became harder and harder to bounce back. I remember when I was the last year I was with the Lakers, they asked me if I could, you know, like the type of minutes that I could play. And I felt like my body, I felt like I could. I mean, my mind felt like I could.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started realizing I was out there and my body couldn't.
Mm.
And then, so that was one side of it. But the bigger side of it was just like, I would come into the gym and just sit in the locker and just look at my stuff. Like for a long time before I put it in. It started getting hard for me just to put my gear on.
Damn.
And I knew at that point, I was like, yeah.
It's about that.
It's about that time.
Damn. Well, you got to think, I mean, you're one of the rare dudes, you, KG, Bron, Kobe, that had more years than, like, half your life in the NBA.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you I played more years.
Yeah, like, 18,
at that
right?
Point, yeah.
And you had played 19 years, yeah. So you had spent more than half your life.
In the NBA.
Like, that's insane wild. To think, bro.
It is.
You know how we always say father time is undefeated? I want to read y'all something. Father time is not undefeated because of knowledge. Know-how, skill, wisdom, and energy is transferred from us to the youth, and father time has to start all over again with the younger opponent. Our spirit is undefeated.
Ooh. Oh, wow. That's nice. Shit. I like that.
Look at you. Okay.
Damn. Okay, Stack. That's a good one right there. That's a good one.
I've known this motherfucker since 2007. He ain't never said nothing.
That boy there preaching, man. Listen. Hey, that's beautiful,
it's
man.
Not, let
that's
me beautiful. Have my mom with that.
Hey, that's like every vet, you know, that you pass along to every young player.
Well,
that's exactly what you said.
It's exactly what it is. I mean, it's handing that knowledge. And I'm sure being the person you are, that was what you just spoke about Book. You mm-hmm. know, we have so much to offer. And we talked about this, I think, with our last guest, Kelsey Plum, with the WNBA about who were her vets. She's like, we didn't have no vets. Mm. And then you see the league now is so young.
Yeah.
And we had, when we first, that. I mean, same thing when you came in the game, we had niggas, it was 37, 38, 39, whether they played or not, they added so much to that team.
Just
in knowledge, wisdom, experience, know-how. And I feel like sports overall is missing that now.
100%. I'm cool with it to do it the way J. Kidd did it, though. Making them coaches.
That's mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the way. You got to do one of them.
Yeah.
Right? You got to either take guys like J. Kidd did that just finished and say, just come to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I know you don't want to hop, but just come in and do what you're already doing. Like Haslam. What Haslam did. Every team needs a Haslam.
Yep.
Like, every team needs a Haslam.
Andre Iguodala, like Iggy. That type. Yeah,
like,
man.
It keeps the team together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, you know, you have, it's, if you got all the youth, A, it's the competition. They all in the same place. You need somebody to help lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got young players leading young players. They don't know what they're talking
blind
about.
Listen, leading I'm the blind.
Like, blind leading the blind.
They don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that they even step up to say it. Like, you hear them sometimes, man, you're not a vet, bro, if you don't be quiet.
Right.
Like, if you don't stop, like there's vets in this league. There was real vets in
real
this league.
Vets.
Like, real vets. Yeah. Like,
that's unfortunate, man. Yeah. I mean, after spending half your life in the game you love, who were you off the court once you finished? Did it take time to find out?
Yeah. I'm still in that.
Really? Huh? Yeah, what year did you retire?
I've been away like 2 years.
Oh, okay.
2 years. And not still, but still in not playing mode, right. And then like your time that you have. Uh-huh. You have so much time now. You spent, like you said, and not even the 19 years in the league that I spent, but from being 12 years old, like, and starting the journey.
All you know.
That's all you know. 19. Like, all you know is, like, hitting the gym and training. Like, it's, everything is directed, right? Like, there's not a time that I didn't have a goal that I was seeking and super motivated for, right? So, like, this is the first time in my life that I don't have, like, something in front of me that it's like.
And we're such creatures of habit, so we're on a scheduled time management.
And that's the part
all
right there.
All that shit is so to a T, and then once you don't have it no more, it's scary.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was like, at first, I was like, I didn't know what it was.
I get to sleep in, I get to do this, all that shit gets old.
You think you're
fast.
So excited.
Yeah,
quick. Quick. I couldn't wait for that. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, right? No more
then
training.
Bored quick.
And JR told me that. Like, we're in above JR. I was like, what's the, because I knew I was headed to retirement. So I was like, and I knew he had gone through it, and then he came back, you know, in the bubble, and then played. And then so I was like, yo, okay, you've been out for a couple of years. And like, what's the toughest part? And he was like, the toughest part is time management. And I was like, okay, really? And I couldn't quite grasp that until I was in that position. And I was like, I got it. Like, and now I understand. Because again, like you say, it's always a training, like, okay, be to the gym this time, do this, you got obligations, da, 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 da. It's all set up so you're just like a machine going. And then once you're about that machine, it's like, okay, now it's on you.
You want that time to relax, but
exactly.
After 2-3 days,
but after two,
like,
man,
I need something to do.
I'm a motivated person that I need to be doing something. You know, so that's why it was great for me to come to the gym. And also, like, I'm a creative, so it's like,
you know,
I want to be.
He one of them tall dudes that really carries himself like he's 6'2", cool as hell.
Like him?
Yeah, Jim and Jelani, the same way, you know?
Big light skins, you know what I mean?
The in-season tournament, thoughts on that?
Oh, shit.
Man, I don't understand it. To be honest, I done had it, like, described to me and broken down by, like, three different players and executives, and I still don't understand, like, I was with DeMar DeRozan, and I was like, bro, what is this? And he was trying to help me get what I was like, all right, I don't get it. Like, I don't get what the – I mean, I hope it brings some excitement to the game.
Yeah, make me watch.
Yeah, like, but I don't understand what's going to be the benefits.
The only reason I like it because they – I mean, I didn't understand it as well, but all the games count, and they all going to matter. Oh, so that, I understand. Yeah. So that, I like that, but just the fact that they making it a tournament – during the middle of the season, that's what I'm just that's, weird.
Is it more, is it like because is it grabbed from like soccer?
AAU
football, it's the FIBA. It is, right?
AAU,
it's that thing. So I
glorified AAU.
Okay, I thought that. How you feel about the? I kind of like that. The
love it.
The overtime, like points that they did. Like I don't know how many points. I mean, how many points they would do, but I like it. It was 7 now.
Like but a set number.
They
like
had a set number. So yeah, they had the first overtime with the Mavs yesterday, and they put the set points. Like okay, first to 7. Clock is off. So every possession matters. And
so
them boys start playing.
First to 7 in overtime now?
First to 7, bro. That's what they're doing in summer
league. If it's 82-82, you go to 89.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah. Hey.
You got to buckle
you
down.
You got to play.
I like that.
I like that. Like, I don't know if it's going to be 7 or what, but I like that because you got to play now. Every point matters.
Yeah,
and then it becomes
possession.
Real strategy. Like,
and they got the flopping foul, which I love because it's too much.
Yeah,
that shit is terrible. And then with all the bullshit reffing, if you get your first challenge right, you get a second.
That should be.
And I like that, too.
That should be,
yeah.
Like, you shouldn't get penalized for being right.
For getting it right. For getting it right.
Who's the best player in the world right now?
Ooh. It's a tough question.
That is. Right now, after the finals, Jokic played the best.
Yeah.
Jokic was the best this year.
Yeah. He's the best in the world right now, dog.
So I got to go with Jokic.
You can't go wrong with that, dog.
How good is Luka? I mean, you get to see him on a day-to-day basis. How special is he?
Special. Luka, I feel like, is this generation's Magic.
Ooh.
Like,
more of a scorer, though.
More of a scorer. And what I mean by that, like, not that the games are similar anyway.
He controls the whole game.
Yes. And the creativity of what they play with, nobody had ever seen Magic.
Yeah.
Right? And we never seen Luka. Luka, they broke the code. Of the league. Luka and Jokic.
Yeah.
These are slow, unathletic players that are, like, moving at a different pace, right? We're athletic and moving fast. They just slow down. And he does it. He does it in practice. He does stuff that, like, I've never seen before. And that's difficult for, like, I done seen a bunch of players, and I was like, he does some of the craziest stuff in practice, and the dude does it laughing and smiling. like magic. That's why I say magic, because his personality is always laughing, smiling, love is easygoing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's special.
That's dope.
The Kang is still pushing strong. What's the
difference? That's incredible what he does.
Yeah, I know, it's unbelievable. What's the differences between Bron and Kobe? You know both. You seen both. What's the difference that you see in between them?
I would say Kobe's mentality.
Point blank.
That's the clearest thing.
Yep.
Kobe's mentality is, you know, unmatched. Just like MJ, point two.
Facts.
Bron is a physical specimen. Like, I mean, Bron is something that we've never seen before.
The mascot for the ultimate basketball player.
Yes. Like, you're going to create something?
Build a player.
There it is. Shake it. Bron.
Straight up.
Like, he, yeah. Yeah, I would say that's the difference between the two.
Yeah, he is definitely that. Before the show, we spoke on boxing. Did you ever use training to get in shape?
Yeah, boxing. Sure. Yeah, boxing.
Jack wanted to ask if you look like AD when you train for boxing.
No, not at all. I saw that.
That was nasty.
That was. Who put that out there like that?
That's
I wouldn't have done that. Like that.
Don't do him like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm don't do him. Like my man working out, training, getting like.
But you can tell they're not even training him to box. No, they just threw him in there and turned the camera on.
Exactly, because he was wide open a lot of times.
But you know,
his buddy just swung up one time.
As tall as he is, you use your length. He's been in down.
He's getting too close. That's what I'm saying.
Like this.
He put his chin next to homie.
That was crazy. It's a great way to get in shape, but he needs a lot of work, bro. And I'm in the boxing space right now.
My shit ain't all
the way polished, but I look better than that. I look better than that, for sure.
Well, Tyson, man, we appreciate your time. We coming down to quick hitters, so first thing to come to mind, let us know. Top five centers of all time, in your opinion?
Ooh. Shaq, Kareem, Wilt, Cheat Code.
Yep.
I'm going to throw Jokic in there.
That boy down in Houston was nice.
I was
Olajuwon, there. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't know how I did that.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
One album you can listen to with on repeat with no skips.
Oh man, I got three.
Give us all three of them.
I could go All Eyes on Me.
Yep.
West Coast.
Yep. Doggy Style.
Yep. West Coast.
Classics.
Good Kid, Mad City.
West Coast.
Ooh.
E-40.
West Coast.
In a major way.
In a major way. Come on, man. Yeah, hey, man. Come on with that major way, man. The bubble. Bubble.
Hey, to start. Hey, that thing just bumped that from start to finish.
This thing would have lit.
Take a nigga shit.
I put that on something.
I put that on the click.
The click.
Yes, sir.
Just dust it.
Yeah. Come on, let me get a jam that day now.
Riding sideways.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
That shit was hard. Hell yeah. Bron, MJ, Kobe, rank them.
Damn, that's tough. M1. Man. M1, Bron, Kobe.
Can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong either way.
Yeah.
According to our barber here, is he here?
He been doing a lot lately, though, but he ain't, I don't know how he ain't here.
Word is Justin Bieber was baptized in your bathtub. Any truth to that?
Truth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Random. Random. I'm living in New York, playing for the Knicks. I got close with Justin maybe a couple years before that. I'm coming from a game. And they hit me to come over by the crib, or to come to the crib. I was like, all right, I'll be there in a second. When I get back to the crib, you know, he was going through some things. He had a pastor come over. So we all was just there, chilling. And then
He said he wanted to get baptized that night. And then, so that's when he wanted to get baptized that night. So that's why he called the pastor over. And then, so then I called. I'm in an apartment at the time, living in, one of the high rises. And I had the guy's number who would, like, open up the gym for me, which had a pool and all of that. And so I'm hitting him, and he not hitting me back. And so I'm like, damn. And I'm like, damn, JB, I know you want to do this tonight, but I don't know how because I can't get the pool. And then the pastor was like, well, you're a big guy. Like, how big is your tub? And I'm like, really? I'm like, I do actually got a big tub. So if y'all want to use that, you can. And they were like, just like, I want to do this tonight. I was like, all right. So I went and filled up the bathtub and let them have their moment. And he had it. Then he left his drawers in my daughter's room. But get your drawers back, Justin.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. Hey man. For real, that bitch has been on eBay. Hey, right. They sold them shits.
Yeah, that's cool. Shitty Biebers. Hey. Shitty Biebs.
Stupid. He has some clean drawers.
Yeah, that's what I was random at. As hell.
First thing you do in the morning, last thing you do before you go to sleep.
First thing, drink a glass of water right when I wake up. And before I go to sleep, pray.
Bet. One guest you like to see on All the Smoke.
But
you have to help us get your answer on the show.
Ooh.
You can play with a lot of
people. Well, I wanted to be here, so I'm happy to be here.
You made that happen.
Been overdue, though. You're supposed to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all for having me.
You're supposed to be here, though.
Come on now.
Man, All the Smoke. KG already been on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She been on?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All of those he like. Look at him.
Yeah. All of them he like.
Y'all had Oak?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Damn, I'm running out of...
We got, you know, it's a couple people...
I was going to say, y'all got a couple
people that's over there that's in your organization that we ain't had.
Oh, no Dirty. Dirk, no J-Kid.
We had J-Kid.
We haven't had Dirk. That's a conversation we need to have,
Cube Dirk. We were supposed to have Cube tomorrow, but he had to cancel last-minute family emergency, but we haven't had Cube or Dirk.
Dirk is our boy. God. We need to get Dirk on. We got stuff to talk about with Dirk.
Yeah, y'all.
You can't be mad at us still, Dirk.
Yeah, I got to ask.
You can't be mad at us still, but we was just doing our job, bro.
Yeah, you over it.
Okay, all right. Come on, bro. I got your jersey in my house.
Dirk is like, Dirk is not the, and not like that, niggas, but Dirk is not the person you think he is.
Right,
yeah.
No question.
See, I don't know him at all. Outside
cool
of playing and saying
bro,
what's up.
No,
seven
right.
jerseys signed he in my no. house.
You know what I'm right.
He's married to a black woman, ain't
yeah.
he?
Bro,
yeah.
Bro,
yeah,
I got
yeah,
seven
yeah.
jerseys in my house. Dirk's is one of them.
You saw us play coming to the gym.
Yeah.
You saw us to go play with the foil on top.
Yeah.
You know he married to.
He been at the barbecue.
You know.
Yeah. Well, Tyson, man, we appreciate your time. Congratulations on a long career.
Love.
Best of luck with everything. And, you know, we continue to wish you nothing but the best, man. So that's a wrap.
In the
Tyson
space.
Chandler. You can catch us on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform, Black Effects.
LA's finest.
We'll see y'all next week. LA Curl, light skin forever.
You did.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.